On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Tall Can Sports. Rob over there, Matt over here. Sports talk galore.
Sports talk galore. That's like pussy galore.
No, it's not near as good as that.
Okay. It's a Bond thing.
Oh. I'm not a Bond guy.
Okay. You know what?
Although I love...
I'm not a Bond guy either. I say to people, last one I saw was with Roger Moore for Your Eyes Only in 1980.
Was it still... the guy that was always on Celebrity Jeopardy on SNL. Who was playing Bond at that point?
I just said.
Oh, okay. Who was before that?
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery is who I'm thinking of.
And George Lazenby, the original Bond before that.
Okay, I didn't
know that. So Lazenby, Connery, Moore,
piles
then
of shit.
A bunch of other British dudes since then.
Dudes! Is it Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah, and then now it's like... who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Hugh Jackman.
Honestly, that's... But it's not. But that's what I was thinking. Hugh Jackman. But no, it's that other... Anyways.
Yeah.
Moving on. Pussy galore.
Okay.
Sports galore.
Sports galore is... I did enjoy GoldenEye for the N64. All-time classic video game.
Yeah, for sure. Another one of those first-person shooter games.
Yeah, but the better part was when you'd sit down and they'd split one of the first games to split the screen in four.
Right, but it was only a crappy gun, right? Was it not like this gun that was floating in the screen? It would be like...
Oh, you could see your hand on it.
Okay, but it was just a gun, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You could pick your different guns or whatever, but yeah, they'd split the screen in four, and at that point, it was 1997 or whatever. So you're usually on like a 27-inch TV, yeah. Now divided in four corners, and you and three buddies all running around trying to kill each other. Good stuff,
an 8-inch screen?
Yeah, exactly. It was awesome stuff.
Well, and you know what? That GoldenEye carried on because my son had it on Xbox One Xbox 360.
I think they relaunched it at one point. Yeah.
And he loved it.
Of course. It was fucking it was amazing.
But it was still the same crappy little... Yeah. You look at the gun thing, you're like... Yeah.
The PP7 silencer. Yeah, it was my... Great gun.
Look at you. Yeah. My son's rolling through it, all the different types of weapons. I'm like, what? This isn't right. Anyways.
Good stuff.
Sig Sauer. All those sorts of things, right?
Yeah. Great game. We had a couple of things. I think this is going to be almost entirely hockey on this one.
Lovely.
Exactly. And I think we wanted to start on Steve Dangle's latest write-up. Steve Dangle, for those of you who don't know, great YouTuber. Really funny guy.
Focuses. Got his own little channel going there.
Yeah, and ended up carved himself out a little niche and getting hired by Sportsnet. So he does videos for them, and every now and then he'll write something up, and he's done a couple of these trade tree breakdowns
and
now.
You know what? Before we go further into this, it's funny that you look at Steve Dangle and what he does with that whole Leaf thing. And his
shtick.
Yeah. And you go, that's fucking that's making something out of nothing.
Yeah.
But the reality is, a guy like that who's just an uber fan.
Yep.
Right? And then taking it to that avenue that he's done, and you go, oh, anybody could do that. No.
Nope.
Not anybody could do that, right? You just have to do what we do to appreciate how much work and effort goes into what he does.
To what a level he's taken it to and the amount of time he puts into it.
And the knowledge.
Yeah.
Like when he's just and obviously spliced together, right? All that.
Sure, yeah.
But what he comes out with in his names, it's impressive.
Yeah.
Right?
And he's in done terms a hell
of his
a job.
Stream of consciousness that comes out, right? Leaps of the 80s and the 90s and
to do this for every single game for now 10 seasons.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. I find him I hate any fucking blue team propaganda. But I find him entertaining.
He is very entertaining.
And I love to see him after a Leaf loss. That's really when I sort of see it pop up on my YouTube page and I sort of go, yeah, okay, I'll check that out. I don't want to see him after a...
When he's in a good mood.
And clearly now he's just...
He's in a good mood way off and
honestly,
now.
Honestly, he's just... And even on the losses, it's not really because he's got this whole, the future is bright shit. And I'm looking at that going, fuck off.
Because he's
and
right.
And not just you, but all of Leaf Nation. And we touched on it before, but you know, it's... As a Senators fan, you take a certain enjoyment from... The futility that is the blue team, right? And I know there's listeners out there who are going, hey, four times in the playoffs we beat you. Okay, you know what? That's fucking... That's
some of those in here too.
That's a decade plus ago, all right? And if you're going to hang your hat on that, whatever. Kudos to you. But the sort of... As a Senators fan, I've likened it to, you know, the Leafs' failure as a bit like... That feeling after sex, right? Where you just, the act is done.
There's the deed nothing is left. Done.
Yeah, everything is just sort of pink and orange in your life. Nothing's happening really, but it's just this glow. That's Leaf futility for a Senators fan, right? And so, and now it's gone,
yeah.
Right? And now it's what you're likely used to is the shame and maybe a little bit of...
Also, just like after sex.
Embarrassment. This is it. This isn't going well. I don't like that. And now your ex-girlfriend, who you maybe still love, well, now she's seeing another guy, and you're just...
And he's a Sens fan.
And he's way more well-endowed than you are, clearly.
Doesn't matter who he's a fan of.
I know it's a long tangent from Stevie Dangles and all that sort of stuff, but we hate
that. Speaking of Dangle.
Yeah. We hate that. Yeah, it doesn't dangle far. Right? The dream of it touching the water when you take a seat on the toilet, it's just nothing but a pipe dream, really. You'd be happy if it reached the front of the toilet, to be honest with you.
I think we were going to talk about the piece you wrote. But
were we? I have no idea.
He does these trade trees where you follow every part of it, right? See where I got, you know, this guy got traded with this guy and a second round pick, and that guy got traded for this, and that pick turned into this. And he does a good job with it. He's done a couple before. And this one was about Toronto trading for Tom Curvers, traded their first round pick in, was it 91?
No, 89.
89.
Because it was 2 years.
That's right.
It was 2 years out. So it wasn't the next pick.
That's right.
Lamoriello said, we weren't looking for the next year's pick. We were looking for 2 years.
The Lindros pick.
Hoping that they would suck continually and we would be in that Lindros sweepstake.
Right. So Toronto trades their first round pick in 91.
Yep.
To New Jersey.
In the 89 season.
That's right. For Tom Curvers. A pretty capable defenseman.
Well, and so I know you are... considerably younger than I am.
True, yeah.
But Curvers was a highly thought of offensive defenseman. Not of the Leach or Chelios sort of, but sort of in that next tier of guys.
Right. Couple of 50-point seasons. And
right, could move the puck, could score, could be on your number one power play unit. you know, a Minnesota guy grew up in that sort of hockey hotbed, right? And so to me, in hindsight, it's one of those things where you can't look at – sorry, continue. Maybe you should set it up before
well,
we
– Oh, yeah. We're not going to go through every stem of this trade tree. I will link
it's really,
it.
It's really a bush or a shrub.
On tallcanaudio.com under the Tall Can Sports section on this show. We'll put the link in with the audio for this show and what we're talking about. So you can find it there to the Steve Dangle article that goes through the whole thing. But it led
Which has a video component, not just
right.
the article.
Yeah. So – we'll link to that. But the interesting component here is the fact that this pick is in the...
did not turn out to be Eric Lindros.
Right. The Leafs actually make a trade with Quebec, who's trying to get worse, to get Lindros. And because the Leafs don't have their first overall pick, they desperately want to not be last and be the team that could have had Lindros and had traded that pick away. So they get some guys from Quebec to stay out of last. Quebec finishes last. That all goes down. Lindros, we know how that goes. He doesn't ever play for Quebec. He gets traded to... but what the Leafs could have ended up with...
is the cornerstone of two Avalanche Stanley Cups.
Yes, exactly. What the Leafs could have ended up with, and I know your enjoyment stems from San Jose and their pick here. The Leafs, I believe, had the second worst record and should have had the second overall pick, but... because San Jose had come into the league, they were given the second overall pick, which pushed the Leafs down to three. San Jose takes Pat Falloon.
Fat Balloon.
Your buddy Fat Balloon. Ridiculously.
And you know what? And I think that gets overlooked / lost in this Curvers.
Yeah.
And the Devils pick was at three.
Scott Niedermeyer. Would have been a great
Leaf. Maybe you heard of him.
Perhaps you.
World Junior, World Championship, Olympic, Stanley Cup.
World Cups.
World Cups, whatever there is to win.
If there was something out there he could win, he's done it.
The Pee Wee Tournament in Quebec City, whatever it is, he's won it.
Right. Had a great couple of days on Jeopardy as a defending champion, I assume. You know,
revolutionary. And you know what? He took that whole, you know, we just touched on Ray Bourque, Chelios, Leach, who were sort of trading around that Norris for a bit through the 80s into the 90s. And he came out in a time, and Leaf fans, I know you know this, he came out in a time when the Devils were winning, but clutching and grabbing, trapping, clogging the neutral zone was at its absolute peak.
Yeah.
Right? And this guy was still, with his skating ability, game breaker.
Well, I think that's because it was his team that was doing most of the clutching and grabbing and trapping and hooking, yeah. And then he was
free to
skate.
The whole term of water skiing in hockey, right?
Going in to see the Devils in the mid-90s was, ugh.
But like anything else, right? You looked at how, what they did to Detroit, who was playing that... five Russians playing in units, yeah. Doing all that sort of stuff, and we're supposed to smoke the Devils and have their first cup. Didn't happen. The Devils just clogged it down, made it less of a talented game, and then like everything else, the league is a copycat league.
Right. Right?
People go and go, draft bigger guys,
yeah.
Clutch and grab, you know, and do all that sort of shit, and then the league sort of went into this Dark Ages.
Just fucking terrible.
Right. For a decade.
Yeah.
Right? Through the 04 lockout.
Yeah.
But that was due to the Devils. So Niedermeyer, despite his team being the...
culprit.
The genesis of all that, the league copycat. So he was not exempt or free from
right.
that treatment.
That's right.
But he still was such a slick skater. Right?
So let me take this in two places because Scott Niedermeyer would go on to become one of the greatest defensemen of all time.
For sure. But before
– yep. Go ahead.
Are you sort of flash-forwarding past that in a hindsight way? Because
yep.
I just wanted to look at and it was interesting to look at the article in terms of Curvers. Honestly, he had a couple 50-point seasons, as you said, for the Leafs on a very poor late 80s, early 90s Toronto Maple Leafs team.
Yes.
Right? And so – you did not get a slouch.
No.
And the number one pick could just as easily have been Patrick Steffen.
Yeah.
Right?
Or Pat Falloon.
Yeah. This is it, right? And so, to me, if you're looking at making a solid hockey trade, You are trading. That is the actual bird in the hand for two in the bush.
Right.
Right? Curvers, good hockey player.
You got a
right?
good player.
And so to look at this piece and you know, I suggest anybody who's listening, click on the link.
Yeah.
Check out the article because to look at what it's done for Curvers, right? That Leaf fan base, very passionate. He's saying here in 2016, he's still hearing from Leaf fans saying, fuck you, Curvers. Like a guy, he was saying going to a restaurant, he puts his card down in Toronto and the guy comes back and gives him his card back and says, thank you, Mr. Niedermeyer. Like, 25 years later, man, people are still just clinging to that.
As you say, it's a great example of trading the unknown for a commodity right now. And that's kind of what the Leafs needed. They were, you know, they'd been bad for a while. They had a chance to acquire a top pair defenseman at the time. And you trade a first round pick with the expectation that we won't be bad enough. You know what it reminds me of? And I think, I can't remember for sure, I think Dangle mentions this in his piece, that it reminds a little bit of what Burke did with the Leafs years later. I think my team is better than it actually is. I'm going to trade some picks and get Phil Kessel and we'll speed this thing up. And all of a sudden, oh, we're not that good. And now all of a sudden that draft pick is A, super important, and B, very high. And there are some good players ahead. And, you could have ended up in that scenario with Scott Niedermeyer. And in this case, you could have ended up, in the Burke case, with Tyler Seguin. So, there are these different ways of looking at it. But you get to a point where you trade for right now and you have no idea what's down the road. And so I think that comparison to the Kessel trade is an interesting one. It's...
Where would Seguin, Dougie Hamilton, and whatever that other pick turned out to be?
Yeah.
Right?
I don't actually know.
For Kessel, yeah, and it doesn't matter, really.
Right.
But...
The franchise is in a different place than...
You can't judge trades in hindsight.
Yep.
Because there's no saying that your team is going to draft. Like, honestly, there's very capable people running the Sharks organization who looked at Pat Faloon coming out of junior and said, that guy's
a stud.
That's
the guy. Yeah. Yeah.
And they took a flyer on Niedermeyer as well.
Yeah.
So there's no saying that the Leafs don't take
Pat Faloon. So let's take, even though you just finished saying we can't look at these in hindsight, let's look at these in hindsight.
Oh, yes, we can. Yeah. Because this is, to me, is and just to finish on Tom Curvers.
Yep.
Right? Usually these stories wrap up in this sort of positive little.
But he ended up winning a cup
here.
Yes,
he's happily doing this and that. And he's saying now, he runs into he's working for, I don't know what the organization was, and Niedermeyer's doing some scouting for the Ducks.
Right.
And he's saying he just ran into Niedermeyer and he came up to him and said, hey, congratulations on a great career and everything. He goes, but I just want you to know that, every pat in the back for you is still a kick in the teeth for me.
That's a bitter fucking guy.
Fuck, man. Wow, that's a 55-year-old man who's just like, wow, I hate fucking this.
As bad as the fans at that point.
This is it, right? And you're like, whoa, buddy, can you ease up? But no, man, that's honestly, did you see the special in a quick segue?
Yeah.
The Dale McCourt
thing? No.
Okay, anyways, that's another guy he still holds the record for most points by a Canadian in World Junior in 1977 in the original one. And
yeah. No, I didn't catch it. Obviously, wow. I know
and,
the story,
and,
right?
And, okay, but and so he was a guy who came out of junior. He had 17 or 19 points in the 77 World Junior and played for Detroit, and he's made it into the list of top 50 or whatever it is, all-time Red Wings.
Right.
And that's a 100-year-old franchise,
yeah, that's not
right?
A bad
and
list.
So if you're making it onto that, even if it's 47,
yeah,
he's driving transport out of Sudbury. And he's, and a guy with that kind of talent, but just bitter.
Yeah.
Bitter. And so, man, we all assume, you're a upper echelon blank, blank, blank in the NHL. You're living the high life. Ah, buddy's driving in tandem shit across North America with some 24-year-old knucklehead, right? And that's what your next
glory days, baby. Looking back,
oh man,
wondering why the salaries couldn't have jumped a couple of years earlier.
This is it. Could we not have been a decade sooner?
Right.
So, anyways,
I got two threads I want to pull at here in hindsight on this trade. One we'll spend way less time on than the other, because to me, the Niedermeyer versus Lindros, where we're going to go next, is the more interesting one. Let me just say, even as a non-Leaf guy, what do you think them drafting Niedermeyer does to change their? As you start to look ahead and you add Niedermeyer into some of the, you know, to the Gilmore team.
The Gilmore trade.
But that's a he would have been in the league 1 or 2 years when the team goes, so he's not yet.
Well, honestly, in 95, Niedermeyer, I believe, was a, he was either in his, he was either a rookie or he was in his sophomore season.
Right. So we're in 93 when we do the Leafs versus Kings. A little premature to think he's swinging things radically there.
Yeah, no, because I don't think he's even involved in that.
Right.
I think he's still playing junior at that time, and they're not rushing him. Now, the Devils weren't.
Right.
Perhaps the Leafs are, and perhaps the Leafs are fucking that whole thing up.
So we also, yeah, that's true too. You never know. So we jump ahead a couple of years to when we're playing against the Devils in the late 90s, early 2000s, with, you know, your Yuskeviches and your McCabes and Caberlés later on, and you know, he's certainly the number one defenseman on those teams.
Oh, well, he's the first. He's a Norris Trophy winner.
But does the Leafs' problem even then was always, I mean, the blue line was never killer, but they had no one to play with Sundin, right? They had no top end.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you're totally reinventing history and what other trades would have made.
Well, you know what? There's a huge book industry in alternate histories, right?
Yeah, for sure.
What if this happened? What does the world look like after that?
Yeah. Leafs don't go out and pick up Brian Berard because they have Scott Niedermeyer, right? Like these sorts.
And that whole do you remember that trade?
The Berard trade?
Yeah.
From the Islanders or Rangers now, was it?
Well, Berard was the Senators.
Okay.
Pick, right? So Ottawa picked Brian Berard number one overall. Islanders picked Wade Redden number two. Right? So involved in that was we sent Berard to Toronto and Damian Rhodes. you sent Damian Rhodes.
Yes.
We got Wade Redden and Don Beaupre from Toronto. There was this whole sort of, so we
circular,
ended up getting,
yeah.
We ended up with Rhodes and Redden.
Right.
You ended up with Berard and I don't know, the Islanders ended
That's
up
That's got to be much later.
No.
Okay.
All in the same.
Okay.
Mid-90s, 95, 96.
Yeah, Berard didn't come to Toronto until like 98, 99.
I think that's wrong.
Okay. Well
okay, you know what?
The Islanders.
Redden played in 97.
That might fit.
Okay. So what I'm suggesting is they were probably both drafted a year or two before that.
Okay.
Right. And so they would have played there 2 years. Berard didn't want to come to Ottawa.
Right.
So he wasn't going to play here. So I'm wondering.
I like him a little more now. That's why someone carved his fucking eye out.
An Ottawa senator.
Yeah, I know.
Marian Hossa. That's exactly right. So, you know what, buddy? You get what you pay for.
So let's shift off that. Because the Niedermeyer thing, just to think back about it, what does he do as a Leaf? It's impossible to know for sure, but it's an interesting.
So I'm not sure, though, if Berard ended up, if he went to the Islanders for Redden, if that was part of that, you got Beaupre and anyways, there was a three-way there.
Right.
Which, you know what?
No one's likely, totally satisfied.
Nobody is loving that, right? I know.
Because the Leafs made a couple of trades with
one-third of a three-way is always left wanting. I say I know that,
there was a couple trades with New York-based teams that involved Alexander Karpatsev.
How many times can you
Matthew
acquire?
Schneider.
how many times
Brian
can you
Berard.
Well, because, yeah, Schneider played for both.
Yeah.
He was with the Rangers in 94, and then I think he finished with the Islanders.
Okay, so we... Yeah. Anyway, we're
you were loving. Yeah. Okay. We're just talking shit. But that's what live.
Sure. That's what it looks like.
This is exactly what it looks like.
So let's move over to the more interesting
things. I think I know.
The more interesting is Niedermeyer versus Lindros, if you had it to go do again in the draft.
Yeah, what do you do?
Knowing what you know, and how, you've got a time machine.
Fully yeah. looking in hindsight.
Right. You know you're getting 20 years almost of killer Scott Niedermeyer. Well, you know, Hall of Fame, really good, great Scott Niedermeyer.
Okay. Hall of Fame, is he a top 10 defenseman?
Yeah, for me.
Okay.
When you start kicking the names out, how quickly do you, you know, Schneider.
Yes.
Matthew Schneider. Brian Berard on the list. Yeah. No, Bobby Orr, Doug Harvey, Paul Coffey.
Ray Bourque. Danny Potvin.
Yeah. You know, how soon do you have
Eric
to.
Eric Carlson.
Obviously. Corey Cross.
Hey, Lance Pitlick.
Obviously, man. And his best D partner, Alexei Zhitnik. That was, you start to get through these, man, and you go, that guy has to fall into the top 10. He has to.
Okay.
So a top 10 all-time defenseman.
I'm just looking at establishing that out front.
Okay.
You deem him to be, at worst,
10.
Top 15.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Eric Lindros.
And I agree with you 100% on that, too. I just wanted to establish some ground rules, some starting points.
I was waiting for, here's a stat that says he's the worst ever.
No, man. Well, you know what? Whatever stat you're going to come up with, Cups, yep. Conn Smythe, blah, all the things we already mentioned, you're a component of somebody who's won everything. Right. And you won with the Devils twice. You went to Anaheim.
Won that.
It planted a flag in Southern California.
An Olympic, two Olympic, was he in 02?
He was in 02.
So absolutely. And he was again in 2010. Guys, for Eric Lindros, for 5 years? Is that too long?
No, 5 years is that's the number I use.
Five years.
In most debates to tear him down.
Right, okay. Maybe the best player in the game.
The most dominant force. Won no cups.
So now you start measuring things like...
Was on that 02 team, though,
yep,
I think.
That's right. Was also captain of the 98 team. When you start to look at...
How could that guy be the captain on that 98 Nagano team?
Had Olympic experience. Also, Bobby Clark was a GM.
Okay. And you have Gretzky and Yzerman.
And Messier.
In that tournament. And that's the guy...
And Sakic.
No, Sakic was hurt.
No, Sakic was there.
Korea was hurt. Okay.
Korea had his head caved in by Gary Suter.
Yeah, after doing in Gretzky's back a couple years earlier.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Gary Suter.
And your
son,
nephew.
Ryan, or nephew. Yeah, right, sorry.
And your little nephew, too. Yeah. It's so he would be, for 5 years, the most dominant player maybe ever. Like, Gretzky was dominant in a very different way in terms of how he put up points. Lindros would put you through the fucking glass and then take the puck and backhand it
into
the
net.
Yeah,
well, he would put you through the glass if you were under 6 feet tall.
Yeah, well, most of the league was, so good for him. He was the reason the league would get
to
over 6 feet.
Listen, Andreas Dackel and Magnus Arvidsson, you're on fucking notice.
I see we're on Senators. Who was it that laid out Dean McCammon coming around the net?
Okay.
I know that was years later, but.
Yeah, that's the guy who played for the Peds. Steve Downey,
that's right. Took
Look
his fucking
that.
Head off.
Working it around. But in the Stanley Cup final of 07, it was Chris Pronger who elbowed McCammon right in the head, putting him out of the cup final.
Any idea who ended Chris Pronger's career? Mikhail Grabowski with the big hit to the head.
Seriously?
Yeah. Never recovered from the Grabowski. Well,
and I think I look at that year,
you know,
that
known,
07,
known enforcer Mikhail Grabowski
with Pronger dropping the elbow to the head of McCammon in open ice and not getting anything.
The people's elbow,
right? And so in the series before that, in the West, and this is going in the Wayback Machine. 07 Western Conference
Red
Finals,
Wings, I think
Red Wings. He delivers the same elbow to Thomas Holmstrom's head. Whammo, putting Holmstrom out.
One way to get
and
your ring.
What a Peterborough douche that guy is. He's actually from Dresden or Dryden.
Dryden.
Dryden. Dresden's in Germany, sorry. Dryden, Ontario.
Yeah.
But a Pete.
I think that's also where Mike Richards is from, is it not? He's from way the fuck up there.
Dryden?
Too, anyway. Yeah.
Do you think Pronger has a prescription drug problem as well?
Jesus.
Quite possible.
Who are you taking? Hindsight being what it is, which guy do you want? Because I think the cups thing is a tough argument. Do you put Lindros in Anaheim and is prime? Does he get those cups?
And you know what? It's so...
If you put him on New Jersey, Stevens doesn't clean him out.
Yeah.
Put Niedermeyer in Philly with that terrible goaltending all the time.
We're assuming that fuckheads in San Jose are taking Fat Balloon regardless.
Yeah.
And we're just looking at
Or just in general, which guy do you want over their prime of their career, right? Like,
you know what? I think I would be not true to myself if I went in any other direction other than taking Lindros.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think you have to. I mean, it's crazy to think you're passing on a top 10 all-time defenseman, but knowing what Lindros could do to your team, you know.
Well, and as you said, the problem, and I cite it, and I've said it in this show, he ruined the game.
Yeah.
He ruined the game.
Well, GM's ruined the fucking game. Trying to copy.
All right. Yeah. It's got to start somewhere, though, right? People are going, look at that guy.
Hey, you're big and good. Get out of here.
6'3",
240. You're going to ruin the game.
Right? And you go, 6'3", 240. Yep. But hands.
Yeah.
Like a guy who was 5'10", 170, right? Like he could move. He had silky hands, but could crush you. Right?
I will crush you.
And so people are like, okay, well, let's just go with 6'3", 240 guys and Jason Strudwick and the like. And you're like...
That's your go-to. Lindros ruined the league because of Jason Strudwick. I hate Jason Strudwick.
Islanders draft pick, I think. Am I right?
I don't know. But that's your go-to.
It's what sticks in my head.
When I think of a terrible National Hockey League, I think Jason Strudwick.
I really think Jason Allison, but it's okay. And it's really weird.
King of the shootouts,
it's
Jason
really
weird. Allison.
Yeah, honestly. Can I go in reverse and still score? How about that? If I drag my... Yeah. But yeah, to me, that guy playing in the Canada Cup as an 18-year-old,
yeah,
right, never happens. It only happens – only the dumbass Americans do shit like that.
Oh, also, the Russians brought Ovechkin to the 04 World Cup. And
how'd that go?
Not great.
Yeah.
Didn't make the playoffs.
Suck it, Ovi. And suck it.
Russia.
Hammer, sickle, douche.
So we're both taking Lindros after all that. Yeah, GMs did was correct.
Much hyped, yeah. Right? Well, and what you're looking at is – is 2 decades of brilliance.
Yeah.
Ish. Right?
Ish.
15 to 20, whatever that is.
Yep.
Right? Versus a short period, a short burst of extremely bright flame.
Yeah.
Right?
League changing.
And he was, now I don't want somebody to get up there and cry. Don't cry. Stop crying. I hate that shit. Don't cry.
Don't cry for me.
Gets up and gets to accept his Hart Trophy in a shortened season, crying. Don't cry. Man, I promised Mess I wouldn't cry. You're not Gretzky. Don't give me that shit. You're not getting traded. Don't do that. Anyways, that being said.
Heading on another tangent.
Yeah, exactly. That being said, I think you can't look away from just how dominant he was. And you know, you throw a couple spare parts in there, Renberg and LeClaire.
Yeah.
Right, varying degrees of talent. Man, those guys, the Crazy Eights, which I think had Recchi on it.
I forgot about the Crazy Eights.
Yeah, they were just super dominant. I remember being at a game in Ottawa here, and that puck would get low, and they would just cycle the puck around and around. Oh, and then it's in the net.
Yeah. And Lance Pitlick couldn't keep up.
Well, okay, and you know what? Ottawa at that time was a fringe 7, 8, 9 seed. They were okay.
Right.
But just in terms of what you could do, they didn't have anything that could stop that.
Right. Few teams did, and that was why.
Well, this is it, right? Yeah. And so he was just because they had to bankrupt that Flyers franchise to get him.
Yes. Yeah, it was gutted to bring him in.
And he still took them to a cup final.
Yep.
They got swept by the Wings, who had learned the lesson the year before at the hands of the Devils. Right?
Avalanche. Avalanche won the cup in 96.
Okay, so 97, 98 was the back-to-back years for the Wings.
Yep.
So if you look at that.
Devils in 95, so they'd been cleaned out a couple times. So they were ready.
You mean the Wings?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they were on the cusp. So they obviously had lost to the Avalanche.
In 96 and the Devils in 95, yeah.
Lost in the final. But all I'm saying is by the time they played the Flyers were sacrificial. There was no way that they were beating that Wings team.
No, that's right.
But
still fucking wrong.
And that is really on one line, right, that they're making it.
Yep. It's true, man. That's an interesting look back at kind of an interesting time, an interesting trade. I didn't expect that we'd get this much juice out of it, but we did. So we will wrap this one up. That is Tall Can Sports, and we'll see you all down the road.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.